Do you ever get nervous or anxious about the unknowns of life, the uncertainties of life? I do. I don't like the unknown. It's a very anxious time for me. In fact, I dislike the unknown so much. Sometimes I'd actually prefer just bad news than the unknown because my imagination can take me way further than bad news ever could. But sometimes unknown can be a good thing. I mean, we're coming up on the season of Christmas, when many people exchange gifts, wrap presents, put them under the tree, and want a lot of those to be surprises. And, there could be good unknowns. About 3 years ago, I had an unknown come into my life that made me anxious and nervous. I know it was 3 years ago because this happened during the time our identical twins, were not yet born, and they're 2.5 now. So Janine was pregnant with our twins during the time, and it was exactly almost 3 years ago, to this month. We were living in Michigan, and I had, taken out a bag of garbage to the dumpster. We didn't have our own, trash can to put by the curb. We lived in an apartment complex, so I was taking a trash bag out to the dumpster that we put it in. And it was a cold, brisk afternoon, and there might even been snow. I came in from the cold, and I had like this feeling in my chest, like this pain in my chest that I don't ever remember feeling before. And, I made kind of a gesture up to my chest, and Janine even noticed, going, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, just, I had like kind of a pain there in my chest." And I didn't think too much about it. I was just coming in from the cold. I mean, maybe just cold air in my lungs or something. But later on in that night, we had Bible study there at the campus at Michigan, and I came back, and the chest pain had gotten worse. The chest pain was now intense, and it moved from like the right side of my chest to the left side of my chest, and now I was getting worried and anxious, because I'd never felt anything like this before. And of course, with chest pains, I mean, that's the classic sign for something wrong with your heart. But I was, a 33-year-old guy, and I shouldn't have had, any heart problems by that point in my life. But still, it was a very weird feeling, and it was making me pretty anxious. And so I remember that night, having kind of a restless night, because the chest pain was pretty constant, pretty severe, although I didn't really have any other symptoms. I didn't know what to make of it. And so I was able to get to sleep that night, and although I didn't sleep very well. And the next day, although the chest pain wasn't there at all times, it kept coming back, and I was getting nervous. And so I kind of talked to my wife and said, "I don't know, I don't know what to do about this. This is making me nervous, and I think we should have this checked out." So I actually ended up going to the doctor. And, at this point, going, "Oh no, this could be bad. What if there's something wrong with my heart? What if there's a big issue here?" And it was a very, uncertain time. And we went to the doctor, and the doctor did all the basic, tests, EKG and, blood pressure, things like that, just to make sure. And, everything checked out. The heart seemed fine, and, I think the doctor just came to a conclusion that I had injured myself somehow, and he asked me if I was doing anything different, and I kind of told him, "Yeah, I've been exercising lately, and I hadn't been exercising for a while, so maybe I did something there." And he said, "Yeah, that's a strong possibility," and just kind of sent me away with that news. Well, this chest pain kept happening, and I kept feeling it for the next few several days. It would come and go, and when it came, it was intense and very uncomfortable and kind of scary. And I'm living with this sort of fear now because I went to the doctor, and the doctor basically said, "I don't think it's anything to do with your heart. It seems fine from all your tests, but I'm just going to guess it's an injury." And that didn't give me a lot of peace of mind. I didn't want to guess from a doctor. I wanted to know. I wanted to know exactly what I was dealing with, and that's not really what it gave me. And so for the next few days, all I had was my imagination. And I ended up, long story short, I ended up going to another doctor to get it looked at. We ended up coming out this way. We were living in Michigan. We ended up coming out this way towards Pennsylvania for the holidays. And, you know, still feeling it on and off. And I ended up going to a couple doctors out here in Pennsylvania. And it seemed like every doctor had their own opinion. And I just wasn't getting a clear-cut answer. So I was dealing with this for, like, weeks of chest pains. And I'm sure that my anxiousness made the chest pain even worse. But I kept thinking it through. And obviously, the worst thing you could do whenever you have a symptom is Google it. Because you Google chest pains and you're just going to die. There's no getting around it. So I don't advise that ever. If you have a symptom, go right to a doctor, someone who knows, and don't Google it. But anyways, I was Googling these things and coming to these conclusions that I definitely had something wrong with my heart. And there was some horrible problem. And a long story short, you know, we eventually came to the conclusion that it was a chest injury, inflammation there in my chest and my cartilage. And they, you know, they prescribed pain meds and, you know, even a steroid, and it just had to heal on its own. But I remember that being a very uncertain time and a very scary time, because I didn't know. I just didn't know. I didn't have a clear cut answer to what this was, and that just left it up to my imagination to guess. And anyways, just one of those times. I want to talk about the unknown tonight, because I feel like, you know, in the Christian life, I see a lot of this, you know, myself included, is that Christians are anxious and worried about the unknown, you know, and it could be a lot of different things. It could be, you know, the politics, you know, and the state of the country and the government right now. It could be, you know, health and things like that. It could be financial things. There's just a lot of things to occupy our minds that we just don't know. We don't know how it's going to turn out. But one of the big things I often see and hear is that Christians are concerned, and to some degree, rightly so, even trying to live correctly, they're concerned with not knowing the will of God for their lives and wanting to know what it is. And I remember this very well in my own life, you know, as a 20-something young man trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do with my life? You know, who am I supposed to marry? What job am I supposed to have? Where am I supposed to live? And try to work through all those things and you know, go to college and try to figure out what I'm good at and what can I train for. And, you know, everybody, here's the system. Like, you're like 20-something years old and you're going to college, and it's just kind of the time of life where you're just supposed to figure out what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to go. And I wasn't figuring it out. And I was just spinning my wheels. And it was another just very anxious and uncertain time in my life. And I gave so much thought to this, like, what am I supposed to do? And I even, to some degree, gave this thought with God in mind, going, what does God want me to do? And I was spending so much time on the unknown will of God. And to some degree, I would pray. To some degree, I would just worry and be anxious and just try things, just to see if something stuck. But you know what I wasn't doing, and I feel like a lot of us aren't doing, is maybe concerning us with something greater than the unknown. And that is the known or the revealed will of God. You see, God gave us this book that we call the Bible that has 66 books of divine revelation from God, which means it's 66 books of God's will made known to man. And that's a lot of material. That's a lot of material. If you've ever tried to work your way through the Bible, you realize it's a vast book. It takes a lot of time, a lot of focus. It is just deep as anything you can imagine. And yet there's a lot in there. And a lot of it is specifically mentioned to man for what we need to do. And the problem is we're giving so much attention and anxiety and thought process and energy towards the unrevealed will of God, when maybe we should be gearing it towards something else. Maybe we should be gearing it towards the revealed will of God. You know, there's this passage in 1 John 2:15-17 that says, you know, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the Father, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then it says at the end of the passage, for whoever does the will of God abides forever. And I remember hearing that passage a lot because it's one of my dad's favorite passages. And I used to think, Okay, whoever does the will of God abides forever, so that's pretty important. But again, how do you know? How do you know what the will of God is? You know, how do you know that the path you're choosing, the wife you're choosing, the place you're choosing to live is the right place, is the right thing that God wants you to do? It's very mysterious, the will of God, it seemed like. God was hiding his will from us. You know, as I've grown and matured in the Christian faith, I've come to realize that that will that he's talking about isn't the unrevealed will of God. Not primarily. Primarily what I think John is talking about is exactly what Christ and God mentioned in Scripture. The will of God. What God mentions to us through the books that he penned and kept and preserved for us. And again, I think a lot of us are so trained to think about the unrevealed will of God. What does God want me to do? And we can get anxious, we can get nervous, we can spin our wheels, we can just try things. We can come to the conclusion very quickly that we're not made for anything good and get very worried and upset by that. And I think that's the devil's game there. I think the devil wants us to do that with our minds and our hearts, is focus our energy upon the unrevealed will of God. What I'm not saying is I don't think there's any validation to that at all. I do think there are times that we have to pray and work through things to figure out what God wants us to do, certainly. So don't misrepresent me. But again, I think when God talks about his will in Scripture, he's mainly, primarily talking about the things he's mentioned to us specifically that he wants us to do. There's this passage in 1 Thessalonians 4 that I want to think about for a moment that says it this way. In 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in verse 3, it says this. It says, "For this is the will of God." Okay, so notice it starts off right away saying, "This is the will of God. Your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you." See, the will of God isn't as mysterious as we make it out to be. The will of God is what God mentions to us in Scripture. Here he titles it your sanctification. And really, the word sanctification just means to be set apart to God. It means to be holy like God. It means that you are not like the world. You are removed from the world, even in a spiritual sense, to be given holy unto God. And what God and what Paul says here in 1 Thessalonians 4 is that's the will of God, that you are completely, entirely sanctified and given over to God for his will, for his purpose. And then he goes on to say something, you know, some specifics. He says that you abstain from sexual immorality, which is another revealed will of God. And it's just another way to show you that what he's contrasting there is sanctification versus the world, versus sin. Because sanctification is being like God, and sexual immorality is being like the world and like sinners. And so what God is basically telling us is, this is my will. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wander aimlessly. You don't have to assume the will of God. I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to give you right now the secret. It's holiness. I want you to be holy. I want you to be separate from this world and its conduct and its way of thought and the things that it chases and the things that it desires. I want you to desire the things that God desires. I want you to live the way God has taught you to live. I want you to be separated wholly unto God so that you can do his will in his work. And again, a lot of that will and a lot of those things are mentioned here in Scripture. We just have to open it and read and believe it and obey it. But again, I think we're so consumed sometimes with knowing what is the will of God specifically for my life, with what I do, with my work, with who I marry. That stuff is, you know, makes us very anxious. And I wonder sometimes if maybe it just doesn't matter as much as we think it does. maybe it doesn't matter so much who we marry, and I'll say that carefully, but we spend so much time thinking about those things that maybe we don't give the primary thought to the revealed will of God, the things that he actually mentioned. Because if God mentions something, he obviously wants us to do it, wants us to be primary in our lives versus things that we don't know specifically. I don't know exactly if I'm supposed to be living in Pennsylvania. I don't know exactly if this is exactly what God wants me to be doing at this certain position in my life. You know, a lot of that is up to basically just reading the circumstances of life and making a decision with prayer. And God can definitely lead us through his Holy Spirit. But again, I think most of his will is found in Scripture. And he wants us to obey these things as if it's a law. He wants his will to be our chief desire. And we can find that will. We don't have to guess. You don't have to have that anxious feeling of not knowing. And going back to my illustration, when I didn't know what the chest pain was, it was a horrible time. Because I didn't have any answers. And no doctor was seemingly helping me at all. I just had to guess. I just had to leave it up to my imagination. And you can imagine that that just leaves you nowhere. It leaves you with no direction at all. And in Psalms, the writer says it this way. He says, "The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Guys, we don't have to wander in the dark. We don't have to wander aimlessly. God has given us his word that we call the Bible, as light for our lives, which means that I can navigate through this dark world with light because I open up Scripture, I read what God says, I see his will, and I walk according to that. That's the will of God. That is the primary will of God for our lives. And there are times that we need to figure out decisions and make a decision based on what God is showing us and telling us through prayer and through the wisdom of his people, certainly. But I almost guarantee that what he wants us to do with our lives is follow the Scripture that he gave through the Holy Spirit by his men, preserved for thousands of years so that we would have it even today, so that we would know the will of God. We wouldn't have to guess. And we should praise God for that and thank him for it and live by it, because that is the way that you know that you can be like God. That you can stand one day before God in confidence, not guessing, going, "I hope I did the will of God." We're going to find out here in a moment. But that you know, he said, "No, it said in 1 Thessalonians 4, I should abstain from sexual immorality, so I did. It said that I should be holy and sanctified unto God, and I did. I lived my life that way." And then you can have confidence that you did the will of God. And like that passage in 1 John 2, whoever does the will of God abides forever. And of course, this means you're in Jesus Christ. If you're doing the will of God, you're in Jesus Christ. That's the only option. No one has ever done the will of God without being in Jesus Christ. But if you believe in Christ, if you trust him and follow him with your life, the will of God must be your law. It must be the thing that guides you. It must be the thing that you think about and pray about and memorize and talk about. Because that's the thing we're here to do. We're not here for ourselves. We're not here for our American dream lifestyle. We're not here so that God can bless us with earthly pleasures and desires. We're here for God. God placed us here for himself, for his name, for his will, for his glory. That's why we exist. And so I hope that encourages you. I hope that we can change our mindset and our perspective to think about the will of God as it's revealed in Scripture. And I'll also say this, I think if we spend most of our time understanding, obeying the will of God as it's revealed in Scripture, it's almost a certainty we're not going to miss the unrevealed will of God. God is not going to hide that from us. His desire is not to hide from us what we should be doing with our lives, the important decisions of life. In fact, the more time I spend in Scripture, the clearer I can see those things when they come and they need to be decided on. And when I don't, when I'm not listening to Scripture and obeying Scripture, those things just make me anxious. And I never know what to do, and I always second-guess myself. And it's a beautiful system. If we'll just listen to the will of God and make the will of God our everything, the way that we live, the way that we think, the way that we conduct ourselves. And we'll find out two things, that we are pleasing God and we're becoming like God. And as an extra incentive, he's guiding our every step and he will not let us down. Thanks for listening.